At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to MidCrimes. Hi.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
It's just life.
I haven't been, it's been like a month-ish since I've been down here.
Yeah, we've been kind of like stacking episodes and recording all at once to like, you know, facilitate more family time.
That's what you gotta do, because summer and back to school for my household, it's not back to school. It's you're going to school.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And do you ever, when your first child went to kindergarten, how many of you were like, yeah, finally? And how many of you were like, oh my God, did I cherish it?
I know. Did I
wish for
it
the
enough?
Next step too much?
Yes.
Did I just want to get through the hard days so bad that like now it's gone and you barely even remember what they look like as an 18-month-old?
I completely catch myself sometimes kind of saying things like, oh, you know, things will be so much easier when they're doing
when they can do this,
but also
when they sleep through the night, when they're potty trained, when they can get themselves dressed, and then poof.
And now that I've moved out of the very physical, very hands-on era of having two very young kids, mm-hmm. you know, who for a time were both in diapers and, you know,
same, exactly.
Now we've moved into a different era where all of a sudden your kids are getting in and out of cars, buckling themselves and toileting themselves and feeding themselves, getting themselves things. And unless they're in a moment where they think I'm a servant and then I'm just,
Mom.
But I'm noticing that now I'm in like an entire different era of parenting. And I get sad and think to myself, like, maybe those were the good old days. But
having a moment, this is my last podcast recording as a mom of two children in daycare.
Oh, my gosh.
So I told Kate that yesterday I rolled up and I had washed and refolded two daycare rest mats for the last time. And I went, oh, okay, all done. But then I took a moment. It's weird, but it's good.
This year, I have two school-age kids. I have a first grader and a third grader. I don't have any more kids in preschool or kindergarten. I have school-age kids now, and it's, like I said, this whole new era.
All of our fans out there that are like, girls, just hold on tight. I believe it. Thank you, because...
And then the rest of you were like, get the fuck on with the story. We hate this.
They're like, what are we talking about today? Because honestly, I have no idea, and I love those. Okay. Those are my favorite.
So... We've done some modern stuff recently. We've done some heavy things.
Are we going way back again?
Oh my God. This case, I heard about this and was like, this is old timey. It
you
is
love those.
Fucking weird as shit.
Oh God, those
There's
scare me.
There's weird forensic shit. There's this twisty, turny, many people like involved. And it literally-
Is this Carl Tanzler's brother?
No, it's not. It's not quite that weird.
Just checking.
But- It very much reads like an old Hollywood film noir situation. And for that reason, it's kind of wacky. And it's, of course, awful what happens to this person. And we still don't have all the answers, but it's like a really interesting and very crazy case. And I can't wait to dive into it.
We're
but
diving.
First,
oh, wait.
Patreons.
Yeah, we can't dive yet.
No. Hold the dives. Patreons.
Michelle Fournier.
Welcome. Lorianne Gebhardt. Hey, girl.
Hey. Jessica Thornburg.
Yeah. Like the Wild Thorn. Oh, Thornberry. It was Thornberry. The Wild Thornberries. Do you remember that show? No? Okay, cool. But welcome, Jessica.
Hey, hey.
Hey. And Amy Mackey.
Hey, hey.
What up, Amy Mackey?
Welcome to all of you.
So I finally found a critter that we have not done before. Actually, Devin found this critter.
I found this one.
Yeah. So a chimera, which I'm pretty sure I've heard of it before, but I didn't really know much about it. So they're from Greek mythology, and they are fire-breathing critters with a lion's head, a goat's body, and a serpent's tail. And they're like fierce protectors of shit.
Yeah.
That fucking fits like a glove.
Everyone needs a chimera in their life.
I feel like, yes, you're my chimera.
Oh, shucks.
We're so good to each other. This is old timey and I'm so ready. I'm gonna slip this on and snuggle in it like a robe.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Like a snuggie?
Like a robe. Fuck snuggies. Okay. I want a robe. So, trigger warning. Domestic violence, maybe. And dismemberment.
Oh.
Yes. Before we get too much into that, I will give you a heads up that that's what we're going to start with so that nobody is, you know, taken aback by any of the more shocking facts.
Very good.
So, Holly Harvey Crippen is the man in question.
Holly.
Harvey. Crippen. Yes.
He's creeping.
He's creeping be crippen. Wait. Crippen be creepin.
Yep.
He was born in 1862.
Ooh.
Because of this, we don't know a ton about his childhood or his upbringing.
I mean, it's 100
like most people in 1862, nobody really kind of, you know.
My house was built in 1869.
I know it was.
He could have lived there.
He could have lived there, but he did not.
Moving on.
Okay. We do know that his father was a salesman of some kind, and he actually did pretty well for himself and his family. Because Holly actually was able to enroll in college at the University of Michigan's College of Homeopathy in 1882.
Nice.
Yep. So we have discussed osteopathy fairly recently with the Linda Hazard case, but not homeopathy. And the two do at times share similar philosophies, but they are pretty different from one another. So homeopathy was first popularized in Germany over two centuries ago. And essentially, it is the philosophy that the body has a natural ability to heal itself of all ailments when supported by natural interventions. So homeopaths will often administer these like tinctures and like mixtures or pills containing these natural ingredients believed to promote the body's natural healing process.
Today's homeopathic medicine.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. And so, like you just said, this practice and philosophy does still exist today. Now you can do undergraduate and graduate studies in homeopathy, and you can even work towards licensure as a licensed homeopathic practitioner. That is a thing. And there's a license that's governed by the American Board of Homeopathy. And I mean, millions nowadays seek treatment for chronic ailments from licensed homeopaths. But back then, as with osteopathy, this was a very new and budding science.
Mm-hmm.
not everybody knew about it. In Europe, it was getting very popular. But this is in the 1800s. Things don't move very fast nowadays. Popularity of things literally goes from like outlands inward.
Right.
And he is living like sort of central North America right now. And they don't have a whole lot of information there. Right. They just are like the last to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, and also, there's not strict laws still governing licensure. There's not strict laws against advertising yourself as a practitioner, osteopath, homeopath, medical doctor, even if you weren't one, like we talked about in the Linda Hazard case.
Right.
So if you want more information on that, go back and listen to that series, because there's a lot of interesting info about that.
She was able to claim herself as a whole lot of stuff.
A whole lot of things that she was not. And she hurt a lot of people and killed a lot of people. So I will say that for me, I don't hate some of those philosophies, actually. No. I feel like there is a role for homeopathy. I mean, treating mild things, skin conditions, arthritis, pain, you know, things that can, you know, that are chronic ailments that are bothersome to people. But there is also a role for Western medicine and technology and aggressive intervention.
Mm-hmm.
I would never recommend seeing a homeopath, for example, to treat a serious illness like a cardiovascular issue,
cancer,
right. Serious infection. You know, please always check with your primary care for any new health concern that you have. Mm-hmm. I would never just defer to a home, even if they say I can cure everything. Please, you know, I'm not shitting all over anyone's beliefs here. I know everybody has their own beliefs,
absolutely.
But my professional medical opinion is that there's
choices.
A role for everything.
Like, you have your choices. Do you want to go through this aggressive treatment of, let's say, if it was cancer, or do you want to try a more homeopathic regimen? I mean, if you're well educated in each area, then, you know, or not educated, but informed.
If you're
then
just
each
informed,
to each your own.
You can make your own decisions regarding your health care.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
Yes.
So Crippen is at this university in Michigan in 1882. But he did transfer midway through his schooling to the Hospital College at Cleveland, Ohio, which we're not really sure why he transferred, but records indicate that he did. And then in 1884, he graduated and earned his degree in homeopathy. And from there, he was able to get licensure as a licensed homeopathic practitioner. And he started calling himself Dr. Crippen. So that was it back in the day to get a licensure as a homeopath. These
Dr.
4 years
Crippen
of schooling.
Creeping.
Dr. Crippen be creeping, bro. So now he's 22 years old, and he is a doctor of homeopathy, and
that
he's got this bright future. And he meets and quickly marries a woman named Charlotte. And in the following 5 years or so, there's actually not a ton of records on his work and what he did in that period of time. So whether or not he actually used his license, we don't know for sure, because there's really no record. We do know that in 1890, he and Charlotte welcomed a son. And from here, Dr. Crippen did find it really difficult to support his new little family, because they had settled, of course, in the Midwest. He had gone to transfer to Ohio for school. They settled in Ohio. And again, it literally takes longer for all this new information to reach, you know, the center of he's still in, you know, the Midwestern United States.
Mm-hmm.
So homeopathy has not really gotten popularized in that area yet. So he starts thinking, you know, I need to be in a more progressive area so I can find a place to put down roots, to start a practice, and to have actual clients that will believe in what I'm doing.
Right.
So that I can start making a name for myself. And so they make plans to relocate in 1892 to New York City. And unfortunately, just before they were about to move, Charlotte sadly passed unexpectedly due to a stroke. Yeah, it was very sad. So all of a sudden, Crippen is a single father of a 2-year-old. And he felt completely unprepared for that. And so his solution was to leave his son with his own parents and then move to New York City by himself, completely abandoning his son. And to my knowledge, the two never really connected after that, and he was not a part of his son's life at all.
Oh, that's sad.
That's really sad.
That's awful.
It's like a huge bummer.
Yeah.
To me, it's like that. And like, if you ever cared even about your wife, like,
You would want
that connection.
The only part
that's
of her
the
that
only...
exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad? Sad for the kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Loses his mom. I mean, it too. You understand that mommy's gone.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And then now daddy's gone.
Exactly. So at this point, he's moved to New York City. He's sort of left that whole chunk of his life behind him. He's in his NYC era.
Okay.
If we're going to Taylor Swift things up. He's 30 years old. He's moved from Ohio to New York, where he's very taken by the advancement of technology there, abundance, the possibilities. And he was able to very quickly get a job there. There were homeopaths all over the place. It was very popular in that area. So you started working at a place called Dr. Mannion's Homeopathic Medicine Company, which is a very, very creative name.
Mannion's.
Yes. So it seems like he was seeing and treating patients there, and he was prescribing medications from what we know. In his free time, it seemed like he really enjoyed his lack of home life and responsibility and kind of, like I said, forgot all about his son and partied a lot. Really started enjoying the nightlife. He frequented cabarets and shows. He became a regular at all of his neighborhood bars and clubs. And he was out seeing every new show. He was just like out every single
living
night.
Living the
life. Yeah. So now it was within these social circles that he first encountered 19-year-old Cora Turner. Cora.
And he's 30?
He is 30.
Well,
yep.
Back then.
Back then, yeah. I know.
Sure.
Cora was a young, gorgeous, aspiring opera singer.
Oh, wow.
Who was born to immigrants and was just trying to find like this big break, right? She's like, I'm a singer. I just need to have my big break. She had all these lofty dreams, these lofty aspirations. So in any show that she could get into, she was like acting and singing and dancing. She was like a triple threat.
Yeah.
And she would do all these cabarets, all these small time shows, all these little company shows. She would sing in bars and clubs and things like that. Any opportunity she had to perform, she was doing it. So they met actually after a show, and she probably thought, well, this guy says he's a doctor and like I could totally have someone support me while I work towards my dreams of becoming a performer. And then Holly is looking at her going, she's young. She is beautiful. She's absolutely going to have a big break and make it. And then I'm going to be the husband of like a famous fucking superstar. Right. And like, hashtag let's get married. And that's like sort of how that happened. So, you know, he had left this old life behind and he now has Cora, who is like this, you know, very, very, like I said, gorgeous, like total piece of arm candy. And for him, just having her at his side, even with her not being real famous yet, really elevated his social status too. There was one problem. She was not very talented at all. She
really?
Was really bad.
Oh.
And
I'm actually surprised by that.
We'll get to it. I mean, she wasn't like really bad, but she was like well suited for the small time stuff, but
so
she would
never.
So he saw her and she was like the sparkling diamond.
So he was enamored.
And he was enamored and just convinced. And she was very charismatic.
You do want that in your spouse, though, to just think
you
girlfriend are going to go places.
Yes. I mean, he just blindly was like, yes, queen. Like, I will absolutely back up anything like you want to do. Like, I will make it happen. And we're going to figure out a way to get you your big break. And you're going to be famous. And then I'm going to be famous by association. And that's really what I want in life.
Oh,
so.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
That's kind of what was happening with that.
This smells like a disaster.
Devin, you don't even know. This gets so wild.
Here we go.
After a very quick courtship.
I love story time.
I know.
By the way.
I know. It's my favorite too. The deeper I got into this, I was like, this story is awesome. This is crazy. So after a very quick courtship, Hora and Holly get married. And Holly loved it because, again, while she was not real talented, she was very popular within their circles. She was a professional networker. Like anybody who she thought would get her an opportunity for a gig or a show or an audition or this, that, and the other thing, she was like, let's be best friends right now. And she was very good at that. She was very good with people. She was loud. She commanded attention in every room she was in. Just she had that very loud and commanding personality. Even if she wasn't like that great of a singer, she was just like that personality made her.
Right. She had the personality of a star.
Yes, exactly. So she was very much like she was the it girl and everybody wanted to like be associated with her because she was just popular. Everybody loves her, like just as a person, too. So she very quickly is like, you know, creating more, you know, relationships and networks like within their circle. So. Crippen, again, very supportive of Cora, and he is working really, really hard, working long hours to make sure that they have the money so that she can essentially not work and network full time, go to auditions and just pour herself into performing to try to get this big break. Right. So he's like keep pushing for that big break also. Again, because he wanted the status, and again, because he was really hoping that Cora would help him rise in the ranks even further. So Cora starts realizing after some time, you know what? New York is one of the showbiz capitals of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there are too many like young 19-year-old beautiful women who have around the talent range that I do who are trying to break into the industry and it's just oversaturated.
Right.
Which, like, she's a little delulu because she's just not that good.
Right. I think. But she's just thinking she's a little like, fish in a big pot.
Yes. Yeah. See? There's just too much competition here. That's my problem.
She wants to be the big shark.
Exactly. She wants to be the shark, baby. She said, like, in this scenario, how am I ever going to make it? How am I ever going to stand out when I'm just kind of like everybody else? So she floats the idea to Holly about moving to London because in London... You know, she thought she'd stand out a little bit more. It's a little bit less densely populated. She would be an American, like young, beautiful woman in a sea of like, you know, British.
Take.
But so for her, she felt like she, as an American, at least would stand out a little bit more if she were an outsider coming in, which I guess she's not wrong. It's an interesting strategy. Like you said,
it's an interesting take on
it. It is. Yep. So Holly wanted to keep Cora happy that she was, I mean, his shiny little trophy, right? I mean, even just arm candy and how popular she was making him very happy. So he's like, whatever you want, honey, let's move to fucking London. So he picks up and he moves to London and now he's out there looking for work. 2-year-old
still left behind.
Oh, yeah. Gone. Totally gone.
Awful.
So in Europe, homeopathy had gained popularity even earlier than in the U.S. So finding work was not as challenging there. It was actually pretty easy for him. There was some licensure red tape that he had to wade through, but because of the U.S. transferring to the UK. Other than that, it was not that very complicated. So there was a little bit of a delay. But once his licensure came through, he was able to find work and he began putting in a ton of hours and just doing everything he can to support their lifestyle, mostly Cora's lifestyle, because that was what he was financing mostly. She did quickly fall in with some socialites around London because, again, she's charming, she's beautiful, she's young, she's loud, she's commanding. Mm-hmm. So very quickly, everybody notices her, and it kind of worked that she was American because that was like the one little thing that kind of stuck out, right?
Right, makes her different from everybody else.
Exactly, from everybody else in the room. She's the American in the room. So that was smart, I think, on her part. In her networking endeavors, she connected with wealthy friends, the Hawthorne sisters and their husbands, and the pair began spending a lot of time with them. They also made a lot of other high-powered friends, and she started getting auditions here and there, and she was starting to like actually get out there and try and break into the showbiz industry there. Now, after a while of, again, trying to leverage her new connections and failing at all these auditions, Dr. Crippen starts getting very impatient with Cora. He's like, you know, it's been a while. I'm financing all of this. You were supposed to be a little bit more successful, and ooh, I'm over here busting my ass.
Ouch.
But here's the thing, though. He does have a point. Let me get there.
I mean, I'm sure.
He does. The bigger issue was that Cora's networking endeavors mostly necessitated her being out late at night drinking, like partying at clubs, funneling money, just... To him, mm-hmm. It was starting to seem very frivolous and irresponsible.
If nothing was being produced out of it.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah, and then, of course, she's making a case to Holly like, well, if I'm ever going to be successful, I have to be wearing the latest trends. I have to look great. I have to look the part. I have to look successful. So he's also funding new jewelry, new clothes. I mean, he's a lot of money is just getting hemorrhaged into this woman, and nothing is happening to reciprocate. So I get the frustration there. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not saying you need to work harder and you need to be more talented. He's saying, like, this seems ridiculous how much money we're spending. This networking is ridiculous. So I get it. While Holly begins like struggling to pay their bills because of this lifestyle, Cora keeps reassuring him, dude, my big break is around the corner. Things are coming. I feel it. So just, and then she starts posing the question, well, Holly, you know, what the fuck kind of a man are you that you're telling me you're struggling to pay the bills? I thought you were going to be able to support me. Like, I'm disappointed. And with that, you know, well, I think you need to just find a new job and start making some more money because you're the man of the house. It sounds like a you problem, bro.
This is hilarious.
I know. Isn't this... Okay.
I mean...
It gets very tragic and very twisted, but also...
I feel like I just want to be sitting on my couch watching some, like...
I'm telling you, this...
Smash this, TV, and I feel like this is an episode.
This is very, like, film noir. It's very, like, a murder mystery gone around. Like, I can't believe this happened in real life type of situation. This should be a book. Crippen then goes out, because he does whatever his wife tells him to do at the end of the day. And he finds work as a distributor of homeopathic tinctures and medicines. So essentially, the term...
In addition to what he was doing?
No, instead of.
Instead
but it's
of.
A more
okay.
lucrative field. Right. So the term coined for what he did back in the day was a snake oil salesman. Wow. So that's essentially what he was. So okay. He was like out on the street peddling tinctures, mixtures, quote unquote, homeopathic remedies to cure any ailment. So a lot of people probably bought them and took them home and mm-hmm. thought they were doing the right thing. And it was just snake oil, literal snake oil. So anyway.
That's why it was lucrative. Because he probably was making
lucrative.
Big bucks, but it was nothing
yes.
in it.
And he is a very good salesman, too. Mm-hmm. He's a charismatic guy. So he's making a little bit more money doing this, which that's great. But the rumors then start swirling around that Cora is having affairs. Very public affairs. She's going out and quote unquote networking. And sometimes she's not even coming home that night. She's coming home the next day.
What you got going on, Cora?
What you got going on, Cora? So, Holly, I mean, if I were him, I'd be like, all right, bitch. Like, I'm good. You are toxic. Like, bye. That's enough of this. But not Holly. He actually just didn't say a word. He just fucking swallowed that shit. And just kept on trucking. And he started focusing even more on Cora's career. Initially, he didn't say a thing. Didn't even let on that he knew. Eventually, it did come out. But he said, you know what? I think that if I can accelerate this whole showbiz process and get her her big break, she's not going to have time for any affairs, and she's going to be so devoted to me for helping her out that she's never going to leave me. She's never going to look anywhere else, and we'll be happily married once again.
But
that was his logic. I don't understand it, but that was his logic.
Okay.
So she's gonna have her big break, and she's immediately going to stop hoeing around.
Sometimes dreams don't come true.
I mean, sometimes dreams really don't come true. He adopts this role as her manager. So he is her Kris Jenner. He's like, he's just going to, you're doing amazing, sweetie, his way through all of this affair bullshit.
This 10%.
He's just the momager. He's just swallowing all that rage and just trying to power through this bullshit.
That was the best reference ever.
For a while. You're welcome. So for a while, he's funneling money into his wife's appearance and social standing and meeting with directors, and he's starting to set up meetings with club owners and directors.
And now he's not mad about it
because he's more involved and he's keeping an extra eye on her. But essentially, her showbiz career is going nowhere because, again,
she kind of sucks.
Yes. By 1902, 42-year-old Dr. Crippen's homeopathic company let him go for what is believed to be spending way too much time on his wife's career and not enough time doing his job.
Snake oils.
It is a demanding, time-consuming tincture, if you will. He is let go from that job and eventually lands another job at the Drew A. Institute for the Deaf. There, it was said that he essentially started running a little bit of a racket. So he would have this panel of patients and he would see them for literal moments, fleeting moments, and then prescribe them whatever slop he felt like prescribing them. So, and like, I know that today it does feel like you go to your doctor's office, there's this whole song and dance, all to talk to your actual doctor for like 5 or 10 minutes, right? It feels that way, right?
Yes.
Don't get me started on outpatient medicine. It is a grind. I have so much respect for those who work clinic-based because that environment is its own very specific chaos. The volume is unmanageable. Like, I get it. But accessing care sometimes can be challenging for that reason, which leads to the overcrowding in ERs and blah, blah, blah. I digress.
It's the system.
Well, this was beyond that. This is beyond any of that. This was like, he would walk in, see them for literally 30 seconds. That was it. And then prescribe them something and then be out. And it's like, I didn't even get a chance to fucking tell you like what's going on. Mm-hmm. You just took one look at me and you were like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that some things can be looked at, diagnosed very quickly. I get that. But if it's something simple, but there are other things that are more complex and take time. To be fair, though, the available treatments in this time period were very minimal. And it's not like you have this huge variety of antibiotics to choose from to treat that UTI. It's like, well, you know, we have these radish pills. They treat fractures and headaches and eczema. And diarrhea, too. Have you tried my radish pills? So, who knows? Maybe he was really trying to help people, but the general consensus is that he was kind of running a total racket and just prescribing unknowing people fucking whatever he wanted to make money. So,
they hadn't found cranberry tabs yet.
No, clearly not. No, it was all about radishes. I was just making that up. I don't know anything about radishes and their homeopathic benefits. If anybody out there knows, please write me a message. So, as I've said, through the years, Cora never ends up finding her big break. She never succeeds throughout her years. This starts to really wear on the marriage even more. And then the affairs kind of come out. And it's a bone of contention between the two, obviously. And marriage starts to deteriorate even more. She's being more public and not really hiding from him her affairs. And she's just like having them like all the time. Like there's just like a constant cycle.
I'm networking.
Overnight networking. Again. I need some more money for my networking and my boys. So she ceases being intimate with her husband completely at this point. She's like, nope, I'm cutting you off, pal. She's too busy. So at this point, you know, she has this collection of like misters on the side and is not being intimate with her husband at all. And Holly, you know, she's now 29 years old And he's like, okay, I am not really seeing a lot of benefit from me being with you for these 10 years. And Cora is now feeling, you know, like she can essentially treat Holly at this point like a bank account and sleep with whoever she wants and have all these nice things and fraternize with fancy people at the bougiest clubs. And Holly will finance me doing this because I have him wrapped around my finger and he will do whatever I want him to do.
This is a train wreck.
This is more than a train wreck. It gets crazier. So this constant influx of love affairs. And he's starting to get so worn out. And now he's like not being intimate with her anymore. So he's like, I'm fine. She's going to have affairs. I'm going to have affairs. Fuck you. So.
Remember what I said about train wreck?
It gets fierier and fierier, baby. So. Eventually his practice that he was working for hired a 20-year-old typist by the name of Ethel Lanouvelle was her name.
Ooh, beautiful.
Yeah. And she was very different from his wife. His wife, again, was loud and boisterous and commanded the room and flashy. And Ethel was very demure, very cutesy, very mindful. Have you seen that thing going around on TikTok? That was her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was quiet. She was sweet, eager to please, like, you know, really drew him in because of, first of all, she was young. She was beautiful. And that was his type.
Mm-hmm.
But also because she was so different than what he was used to. So, you know.
Cute.
Very demure. Very cutesy.
Yes, I've seen those.
Okay, good. So not long after, he's engaged in this full-blown affair with Ethel. So by the time she was 22 and he was 43 in 1905, and again, in full view of Cora, this whole thing was happening. No one's hiding anything from anybody.
But he's still paying, writing the checks for her.
Yeah, because, so, and we'll get into it, but there's like, this arrangement, this like unspoken understanding between the two. Ultimately, Holly Crippen actually purchased a bigger house at 39 Hilldrop Crescent in London, because in this new home, he and Cora could live together, but in separate rooms. And they had sort of reached a point in this situationship where they're each sleeping with their own people separately and not even sleeping in the same room. And they're essentially estranged. But they are maintaining the public formality of
this is giving
the marriage.
Me very Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo vibes.
Very much so.
It's a book that I recently read.
I've heard of it, actually.
This is giving me a lot of those vibes.
Okay.
But anyway.
And
I digress.
You digress. So they're keeping up that facade of a marriage because there's an understanding that this will be mutually beneficial if mm-hmm. they keep it going, mm-hmm. right? Because he's financing her dreams still. Mm-hmm. He's taking care of her. And she's, you know, so she's loving that. And he's like, well, I still think she's going to be a starlet. So if I'm still legally married to her,
then
that
I'll
just
benefit.
Still, which like, bro, it hasn't happened. All right. It's not going to happen, sir.
She's getting older.
She's getting old. She's past her prime. Okay.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
So that's sort of how that's going. And also, you know, fucking Cora can't be expected to like go get a poor people job.
No.
And support herself.
No, she's a star.
She's a star. She can't be seen working at the fucking butcher. So with this added expense of this big, huge new house, their debts did catch up with them, and Cora's lavish lifestyle was like threatened. Like, they could not afford this house, and for Cora to keep doing all the bullshit that she was doing, she needs to stop. So they started actually renting out rooms in this big new house that they had.
Brothel. Great.
Cora, of course, begins an affair with one of the renters, to nobody's surprise.
Brothel.
And of course, Holly saw this, he knew, and he did absolutely nothing. And he's just letting his marriage continue to deteriorate. If the two had communicated in the first place, like at all, you know, maybe this wouldn't have happened and this wouldn't have gotten to this point. But they're just like, the rift is just growing.
There we go. I'm waiting for this thing to turn ugly.
It gets ugly.
Where's
don't
the
you
dismemberment?
Worry.
How does that occur?
Devin, for once, is looking forward to the dismemberment.
How does that occur?
This whole financial situation is very, very stressful for Holly. And they're hemorrhaging more money. She's cheating with everybody. He's realizing that, you know what? I'm in my 40s. I have this new woman named Ethel who he is.
Which also in the early 1900s was old.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
That is old. I mean, you're not going to be alive a whole lot longer.
40 was the old 60 back then.
Yes, exactly.
It was not the new 20 like it is now.
No, like your dream should have been achieved by now, sir. I'm sorry. You're like in the sunset of life. It is dusk for you.
Again,
it is twilight.
All the stuff that we have now.
That's
so they didn't live that
that's
old.
That's the thing. So that's why he's like having a midlife crisis and is like, you know what? I did bad. This is not good for me. This is real bad for me. I did real bad.
I have no money.
I've worked so hard. I have nothing to show for it. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. This woman has my balls in her purse. He's having this crisis, and he comes to this realization that if she hasn't made it by now and she's over 30, this is not going to happen. Like, she's not going to get famous now.
It's not going to be done.
This ain't going to happen.
You can do anything you want after 30.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Except for like start learning gymnastics and be in the Olympics.
I mean, you can start learning gymnastics.
I mean, you know, I just
Your
recently decided that I wanted to be Simone Biles. So it's like you just start wanting to do. And probably after 30, those things aren't going to happen.
Probably not. There's some things that just don't happen after 30. It's just a thing. Sorry. So he starts, you know, realizing that Cora has provided me with like absolutely nothing, and that whole facade, you know, starts to kind of crumble for him, that she's like this perfect starlet and that she's gonna make it and she's so good and she's so talented, and that's kind of falling apart. So he's like, I wonder what it would be like if Cora just wasn't here anymore. I wonder what it would be like if me and Ethel could just live together, because we're in love, like for realsies, and Cora is just wasting all my money. And it's a pain in the ass.
So he did the logical thing and pursued a divorce.
That would not have gotten him on this show.
I know. I just thought I'd pose the question.
No, he did not do the logical thing. Does he ever do the logical thing?
Well,
rarely. So on the evening of January 31st, 1910, the Crippens throw a soiree for some of Cora's showbiz friends and connections, Paul and Clara Martinet. And they partied and they drank well into the evening. They later said that everything seemed fine between them. They were, you know, shooting the shit. They seemed happy. Everybody was fine. And they left their house around 1 a.m. February 1st. So the next morning, early morning hours, they left the house. And little did they know, they would be the last people outside of Holly and Ethel to see Cora before she mysteriously vanishes. So after this event, she's just nowhere to be seen. And this is a very well-connected woman.
Mm-hmm.
She is, her full-time job was networking.
To be connected.
Was to connect to people and build relationships and knowing everybody. So when she just stopped showing up to shit, people noticed, like, a lot. So Holly starts getting people knocking on his doors almost immediately, showing up at his work.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, lovers were like, hey, where's your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't anybody seen her? All of her lovers, everybody's asking everybody, what? Nobody has seen Cora. Nobody knows where she is. And then his excuses for where she is are very inconsistent. So he would first say, she's in the United States visiting relatives. She'll be back soon. And then the others, he would say, oh, she got sick and died, unfortunately. And her remains are going to be buried in the United States with her family.
Because that wouldn't get caught up to the people who. Right. Like,
well, that's the thing. Yeah. So he made this whole story that her remains are going to be buried back in the United States. So. And then his stories just like started to grow wilder. He was coming up with more lies to cover the existing lies. And everybody had this like different story of where the fuck is Cora.
Mm-hmm.
So people started growing suspicious when Ethel, his new little girlfriend, was seen strutting around town in Cora's very flashy wardrobe.
Oh, fuck.
Like, people remembered what Cora wore.
Uh-huh.
Because she was on the forefront of fashion and had everything new all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Ethel is dripping in finesse.
That was not a wise choice.
No. No, no, no. So, finally, in the summertime of that year, 1910, after receiving some inconsistent stories, a friend of Cora's named Kate Williams came forward to the police about her concerns and was like, listen, I have this friend. I have not seen her since January, February of this year. I'm getting way different stories from everybody. Nobody has seen this woman.
Mm.
It was very uncharacteristic of her just to pick up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
She had plans. She had made dates with people.
And she would always tell, like, she would want them to know where she is.
Oh, she would announce that from the fucking rooftops. If she was planning on leaving the next day for the United States, she never would do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Cora, I mean, they were pretty close friends. So Cora had actually confided in her, you know what? My husband and I are like sleeping in separate rooms. He knows about all these affairs. He's having an affair. So she starts putting things together like, oh, you know, there's a potential motive there for her husband to do something to her. So she brings her concerns to the local police, who then elevated to Scotland Yard in early July of 1910. So the investigation begins with investigators interviewing Crippen at his home. That's their first stop, basically. The first thing that they noticed was that they received a completely different explanation for Cora's disappearance than anything anybody else had received, reportedly. So he told investigators that she had run off to America with a lover of hers.
Why can't he just pick a story and like leave it at that?
I know.
Preferably not the dead one, but
he said he was a music hall actor named Bruce Miller, and the two had engaged in an affair, and eventually she finally took off to America with her lover, Bruce Miller. He did tell investigators as well that he lied to the others, and he made up all these stories about her getting sick or visiting relatives because he was embarrassed by the truth, which, according to him, was that she had just left him for another man. So, the lead investigator, Walter Dew, starts asking him, well, you must have like some idea of whereabouts in the United States she is, if you know that she went there. Where's her, like, where does her family live? She must be staying with family, or she, you know, where could she have gone? Do you have her contact information? Has she, like, what has she gotten you? He's not able to give her that information right away, but he's like, you know what? I think I can find some letters from her, so give me until tomorrow and I'll give you as much information as I have. The investigator says, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it tomorrow. You gather your information. So the following day, his solution was then to shave his mustache, help Ethel disguise herself as a young boy so that they could pose as father and son while traveling, and flee London to Brussels. From Brussels, they headed to a steamship port in Antwerp to board the SS Montrose, part of the White Star Line, departing in July 20th, 1910, for a journey to Canada. So, Chief Inspector returns to Dr. Crippen's home.
Did Ethel get away as looking like a boy?
She was apparently very petite, very small, and as long as she wasn't inspected too closely at a glance, yes. But this catches up with them, don't worry. So the chief inspector returns to Dr. Crippen's home the following day, looking forward to checking up on the info provided by Dr. Crippen, only to find that no one was home. Belongings had been packed and appeared that the place had been effectively abandoned. So, of course, this kicked the investigation into high gear, because what reason would they have to flee?
To just disappear.
Unless they are guilty of something, right? So the investigators start ordering searches of the grounds. They're dragging the nearby bodies of water. There's a creek nearby that they're dragging. And they start combing through the residence, like, top to bottom. Like, we got to find something. When all of a sudden, some loose bricks were found in the cellar. This is where things get a little bit graphic. So if you're not into some of the more graphic stuff about the condition of the remains, go ahead and fast forward the next couple of minutes. So when investigators pulled out those loose bricks, they found a pair of men's pajama bottoms, which had been torn and were stained with blood. And these pajama bottoms had been used to wrap around a human torso. This torso was, wait for it, headless, limbless, and possibly most interestingly, completely boneless. Boneless. And when I say boneless, I mean all of the bones from this torso had been removed.
The whole rib cage?
The entire rib, the spine?
I was going to say the rib cage and the vertebrae? Yep.
Now, if you think about a human torso and how intricate those connections are between the vertebrae, the ribs, and how extensive all of that
should
is.
Should be like ripped apart.
The amount of connective tissue holding everything in place.
Right.
This was not something someone can just like go and do. This was an intact torso.
What?
That was boneless. I mean, like there were like incisions where the bones were removed, carefully excised. But any layperson would have had to, like you said, rip this thing apart to get the bones out. That does not happen. And then the torso stays recognizably a torso in one piece. Right?
No.
I mean, so.
Why?
A lot of questions, right? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, leaving a torso. This, first of all, one thing. It's a
there
very
are so
strange
many
thing.
Questions.
But why take the bones out?
And I wish that we end up at the end of this episode answering every single question that's out there, but we are like left with more questions.
Great.
Essentially. So now the coroner, of course, gives an opinion that somebody with a lot of experience either in processing meat or game or medicine and surgery had to have committed this crime. Because they have a lot of anatomical knowledge. They knew they had exactly the right tools to excise the bone away from that dense connective tissue. And Holly would have received anatomical training in his schooling, of course. So the remains, the pajamas, and everything that they were able to collect were taken in for analysis. Interestingly,
Only the torso there?
Only the torso. Interestingly, they did find traces of scopolamine. A medication in the anticholinergic family, which is still used today to treat nausea, secretions, and can be used as a sedative in higher doses. And actually back
then...
We have
not talked about scopolamine in
this
setting before.
I know, we haven't. No, this is the first time. Huh. It's interesting. And actually back around this time, they used it in higher doses routinely to anesthetize people prior to procedures.
So did he do this humanely?
We don't... I mean,
that's not a humane thing to do, but like, did...
Don't have all the answers, but we'll talk a little bit more about some theories, right?
Huh.
So, again, so many questions.
I'm very perplexed.
Where the fuck is the rest of the body?
Yeah.
Why scopolamine? What does that mean? And where the fuck are the bones? And where the fuck are the other people that live here? What is going on?
Right?
What is going on? There's so much. So, now, this is happening in London. During a time where the reign of Jack the Ripper was like not too distant in memory.
Okay.
So when this hit the press, it was a very frenzied public response.
They're thinking, great.
Because this is another gruesome crime and the likes of which they hadn't really seen since Jack the Ripper. So now they're like, oh no, you know, there's another, you know, crazy serial killer who's going to prey upon women in this city. And it was starting actually getting international attention for that reason. So very quickly, this blew up and became a huge thing all across Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotland Yard was put under a ton of pressure to find Holly and Ethel and see if they could figure out what the fuck is going on here. Pretty soon, Holly and Ethel, they have a description put out to everywhere. So, like, because they know these guys are on the run. At this point, they could be essentially anywhere.
Right. And they were.
They were on their way to somewhere else. That is for sure. So they're putting out descriptions everywhere. They're making it very public. You know, these two people traveling together, they are, you know, potentially like violent criminals and they need to be brought back to London. So please notify the authorities if you find XYZ. And so everybody was on the lookout and they were sort of up there with some of the most wanted criminals of their time. Like, this was an international manhunt for these people. This became a very big deal very quickly. And as this was starting to blow up, Holly and Ethel had absolutely no idea because they had been stuck for the last couple of weeks on a boat to Canada. They're not talking to anybody who's reading newspapers.
Right.
And they're not reading newspapers
themselves.
There's no
social media.
There's no social media. So, meanwhile, passengers were taking notice that this father-son duo who were traveling together were a little weird. First of all, that little boy is real weird looking and doesn't really fit into those clothes very well. Second of all, they're holding hands a lot. They're smooching.
Okay.
And a grown man doing this with what seemed to be a young boy gathers a lot of attention. So they're just being fucking dumb and not bothering to hide it, thinking
keep it in the room,
that they can just like get away with anything. So, to say the least, this is very strange duo on this boat. I don't know what's going on. So the ship's captain at that time has this like striking revelation because he, as the captain, had received a bulletin about the two that were potentially violent criminals on the run who may be traveling in disguise and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he realizes that this, what was dressed as a young boy, after he kind of looked a little closer, oh shit, that's a chick. That is a woman. That is an adult woman. Wearing a disguise.
Oh, Captain.
Captain, my captain.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends a telegraph without informing anybody to Canadian authorities because that's their destination.
That's where
port.
They're going.
Notably, this was actually the first time in history that used telegraphy, I think I said that right, to solve a crime. This is the first time in history that happened.
That's
Isn't
cool.
that wild? That's cool.
That's cool.
So, once received, Canadian authorities actually sent a faster ship out to intercept the pair. And on July 31st, 1910.
Before they even landed?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Not even like
because
this
ship was faster. Yeah. Because they were like, we want to get these guys. You know, the sooner they they're going to realize one way or another that people are after them and that they're being actively searched for. So on July 31st, 1910, Holly and Ethel were both arrested. And once arrested, apparently Holly uttered the words, quote, "Thank God it's over. The suspense has been too great," end quote.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. He was apparently feeling very guilty and Yeah. He was 48 at the time. The pair were boated back to England, and the trial would prove to be controversial as questions would arise regarding Holly's actual innocence, whether the corpse found even belonged to Cora, and then this salacious media coverage that came along with
it. They don't know that yet? Well,
we'll get to it.
I mean, it is a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
Especially when you don't have a head.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
particularly,
they're not testing DNA.
That's the thing. Yep, and that becomes a big issue in this trial. And even years later, criminologists are looking at this and going, boy, you know, this was really fucked up, and we actually don't really know who did what to who and who this was.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So,
I mean, it makes perfect sense, and it adds up. Why would he flee if it wasn't her?
Exactly.
Granted, you have a dead body in your house.
That's the thing. Exactly. But so then the media coverage around it is like all painting pictures of this socialite and adulterous wife slain by her psychotic doctor husband. And, you know, it's all really sad. And then Crippen this whole time is holding on to the narrative that Cora had left me. I have no idea where she is, but she's not dead. I promise you she's not dead. She's just not here. And his defense, he built this whole defense around this.
Mm-hmm.
And Crippen's defense posed the possibility that someone had placed the torso in the basement prior to the Crippens moving in. But the prosecution brought up critical evidence that the pajamas found wrapped around the remains matched pajamas that Cora had gifted Crippen the previous year. And that the manufacturer of the pajamas confirmed that these were not made with this specific pattern prior to 1908, which eliminated that possibility because they moved in 1905. So that's out the fucking window.
Well, at least they can prove some stuff. Without, yeah, like
exactly.
Forensics. Yeah. You know, like, yeah,
they're doing their due diligence mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. They also discussed the presence of the scopolamine, which he would have had plentiful access to scopolamine mm-hmm. in his field. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, prosecution was able to show evidence that he had purchased large quantities of it just prior to Cora's disappearance. So there's that.
Things aren't adding up, Mr. Crippen.
Yep. The big wrench in the prosecution's case was that they could not prove without a shadow of a doubt that this was Cora's body.
Right.
They had no way of doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was just one other piece of evidence that could help make a case, though, that it was her. The torso did have a scar on the abdomen that was said to match a supposed abdominal surgery that Cora was said to have had in her youth.
Okay.
So this was a very talked about piece of evidence. It was also circumstantial, though, because, mm-hmm. I mean, that scar could have belonged to anybody, been from anybody, right? And mm-hmm. so could this really serve as an identifying mark? Maybe, but also would've maybe not. Would have
been a slam dunk 100 years later with DNA.
Sure, of mm-hmm. course, but nothing definitive. So after this, Crippen didn't really have a whole lot to add to his defense, aside from what we already talked about. And reportedly, the whole time, he was very stoic, very quiet, and mostly just concerned about Ethel because he kept looking at her and his only comments were like, I hope this doesn't ruin Ethel's reputation, and I hope.
So was she charged?
No.
Okay.
She never faced any repercussions for this whatsoever.
Okay.
So he's worried very much about her virtue mm-hmm. in this entire thing.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
On October 22nd of 1910, after 27 minutes of deliberation, Holly Harvey Crippen was found guilty of murdering his wife, Cora, and he was sentenced to death by hanging.
Oh.
His last request was that photos of Ethel be buried with him.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
I mean, yeah. So, on November 23rd, 48-year-old Holly Crippen was hanged at Pentonville Prison.
Okay.
There are theories floating around that Polly, like, snapped and murdered Cora in a rage, of course, or that he maybe accidentally gave her too much scopolamine. Maybe he was trying to drug her and get her to be intimate with him. There are theories about that. Who knows? There's so many things that, you know, we don't know about this. The rest of her remains, for one, were never found.
Wow.
They never found anything else.
Wow.
Modern day criminologists looking back at this.
I want to know why she was deboned still.
Me too.
And that's my biggest question.
I also want to know.
I'd like to know where her limbs and her head are.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Modern day criminologists have a lot of trouble with this conviction because there's such a lack of physical evidence linking him directly to this. There is the pajama thing, which is compelling, right? But again, you know, without what we have today, like fingerprint technology and DNA and things like that, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot of even circumstantial evidence, honestly. Okay, now fast forward to 2007.
Oh.
So we're all the way in this century now, all of a sudden.
Whoa.
Whoa, I know. Michigan State University forensic scientist David Foran, with the use of the internet, conducts this massive search for any direct descendants of Cora Crippen.
No kidding.
Yeah. So he was able to find three of Cora's living relatives.
Really?
Yes. They were able to find those people, get hair samples from them, and luckily, from all the way in 1910, Scotland Yard had kept hair samples from Cora, just in case a scientific breakthrough would happen almost, you know, 80 years later for them to finally solve this case. So from 1910 to 2007, they kept these three hairs from Cora from the crime scene, or from Cora from the house.
Okay.
So they gathered the Cora's hair from her brush or something.
Okay.
So they kept those three strands of hair, and they were able to run mitochondrial DNA from that hair and against these living relatives. And they found that, shockingly, these did not match any of the mitochondrial DNA collected from the family members. So whoever this was, according to the DNA, is not Cora or related to Cora in any way.
So, but wait a minute. But it's hairs from the house,
which
Cora lived in.
Yeah.
But so did Ethel.
Yes.
And a bunch of other people.
It's thought to be Cora's hair. But again, this was gathered in 1910. And that's a good point, because how can we guarantee
that was Cora's hair?
We don't have a guarantee.
And you don't have her head that would have the hair on it.
We don't have a guarantee. We also need to take into the account that we are running DNA on a 110 year old piece of
hair,
which degrades over time.
Even still, that doesn't tell me, that doesn't, like, what's the point? Okay, so we know you have her descendants.
Yes.
But you have this hair that you believe to be hers. But again, we already said people were renting the house. There was lovers in and out of there for both him and her.
You're right. It could have just not been Cora's hair at all. It very well could have been. There's that. The fact that this is very, very old biological material that we're testing. And how degraded is it? How accurate is this at all? According, though, to what they do have from this DNA profile, this torso may not have even been female.
Well, I mean, from the hips down, we're gone.
Yes.
Not even just the limbs.
Was said to be. Yeah, exactly. Like,
from the waist up.
Yep.
You have from the waist up minus the head.
Yes.
And arms.
Mm-hmm. So they're not even sure anymore if this was a female torso.
There was no breasts?
If they were there, they were very small. Is all I have to say about that.
Wow.
There's
a lot of questions.
So many questions. After a thorough search of records, David, this forensic scientist, also found a bunch of suppressed records that the prosecution had gathered and then suppressed and not allowed into evidence. That really changes the narrative on some things. They actually found letters, supposedly from Cora herself, from back in the United States. She was writing to him saying that she had moved on and she was living with this lover named Bruce and this, that, and the other thing.
Stop.
Swear to God.
So who were these descendants?
I don't have any details on those names, like, aren't released, I don't believe.
Cousins? Very, like, were they great-grandchildren? Did she end up having babies?
She didn't have any children, to our knowledge. Right. She did not have any children. So these must have been siblings, like, you know what I mean? Siblings or aunts, uncles. It could have been anybody who was a distant relative of hers.
But
again,
if the prosecution found evidence of letters where she's down in the United States with Bruce Miller, whoever the fuck that is, she could have had children.
She could have had children. Exactly. And we just didn't know about it. So essentially, those letters would have confirmed Holly's story.
Correct.
But it was all kept from the jury. And prosecution had it, and defense didn't even know about it, and they buried it.
Well, now I have questions.
We all have questions. How accurate were these DNA results? We don't really know. They could be completely inaccurate and painting a totally inaccurate picture of who this person was from a DNA perspective. So perhaps that's not even really accurate. But in 2009, after a hearing held by the Foreign Trust Trials occurred, they actually issued a posthumous pardon for Holly Harvey Crippen, based on lack of evidence. Yes.
What?
Mm-hmm. So we still don't really know for sure who was in that basement.
I know.
Where the rest of them is.
But it's someone.
It is someone. He fucking got up and ran away, panicked and ran off with Ethel in disguise. His jammies were wrapped around that thing.
His jammies.
His fucking ripped up jammies.
His jammies.
That we know he received and belonged to him.
And he said the suspense was too great.
Who else would have put that thing in the bricks? Who else would have put that torso in there? It was him or Ethel. And who else could have excised those bones? And where the fuck are the bones? What is going on? Anyway.
That's a lot of pieces of a human being to be missing.
I know.
You have a whole groin area, two femurs. You know, that's a lot that's missing. You got a spine and a rib cage.
Yes.
Is there a skeleton of her somewhere? Is it a Halloween decoration?
What? Maybe. We don't know. That is the very unsatisfactory ending.
This story on a Sunday evening with so many loose ends.
Yep. This has been Loose Ends with Med Crimes. Tune in 2 weeks from now.
She ain't going to tie him up.
Nope.
She
They're
going to
stay
answers.
Loose. They're staying loose.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yup.
I'm a little sour at the moment.
Sorry, Devil.
Love when you do this to me.
I know.
If you want to keep listening to us, you can check us out on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can find us on YouTube by searching Med Crimes Podcast.
You can check us out on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/MedCrimesPodcast.
Send us your crazy stories, ideas, anything you want to say to MedCrimes@gmail.com.
Go Keene Knights football.
Yeah! Woo!
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different.
to pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.